Well, this is my New Year's sermon for you. And if you want to take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 2, I want to talk about getting a vision from the Lord for your life for 2016. So Acts chapter 2 is the verse I'm going to just share about getting a vision and a dream from the Lord for 2016. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, is the day of the birth of the church. It's kind of the new beginning, and so it kind of reminds me of a new year, the new beginning, So they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came on them. They asked the Apostle Peter to explain what had happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter replies in verse 16, "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So I want to talk to you about getting a vision or dream from the Lord for 2016. Now, you understand that, does everyone understand that it's important that you actually dream at night? Now, not everyone. How many here, does anyone not, you don't remember any of your dreams? So, a couple of you, okay. It still means you actually dream. They've studied that you are dreaming. You just don't remember your dreams for whatever reason. Or maybe someone needs to wake you up during your rapid eye movement or... We are all dreaming, and studies show that you need to dream. Somehow, your dreams organize and get you emotionally healthy from all the stuff you learn through the day and prepares you for the next day. You actually don't need to sleep for your physical body, okay? But you do need to sleep for your mental health. And you understand one of the tortures that they'll do to POWs or the police or whatever is to not let you sleep. It's not to make your body weak. It's to fool around with your brain. So all of us dream. We need to dream to be emotionally healthy. Well, I believe all of us, and by the way, babies start dreaming even before they're born. So that's how important dreaming is. So I believe all of us need to have a dream from the Lord. That as believers, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that God will give all his servants, all men and women, a dream or a vision for your life. So here's part of my, I want to share part of my vision, which is obviously part of yours. So there's the stairway to heaven. That's where I'm going. And here's on the bottom is my wife and I going on the escalator to heaven. So I've got three parts of my vision, the dream for my life. I have what I call the upward part, the inward part, and the outward part. So the upward part of the vision for my life is I'm going to heaven someday. So like I know where I'm going to. I know God, when I gave my heart to Jesus, God revealed to me and to you that we're going to wind up in heaven. And I don't know how long I'm going to live. But let's say I live to 95, which isn't really that much farther away from where I'm at now. So I know in a matter of a couple of decades, at the most, that I'm going to wind up in heaven. I've got a mansion waiting for me. I get to live forever. I get to see Jesus. There will be no more sin. I'll have no more health problems. It's an amazing retirement plan that I have and you have, right? Sometimes, this Christmas, I learned that over in Spain, did you see that Spain has like the largest lottery in the world that they put off every Christmas? And it's like $1.5 billion is what you win. 3/4 of all the Spanish people play it for Christmas, okay? I'm like, wow. But you know, they're hoping that's their heaven. But my retirement is already taken care of. Okay? At 95, I'm extremely going to be wealthy, healthy, prosperous, and doing very well for the rest of eternity. You with me? All right. So that's my upward vision. That's someday that's where I'm going. My inward vision is that I know that God is working on my life to make me more like Jesus, to conform my character to be the person that I am, which is royalty. We're children of the King, and we're in training, and God's preparing us to actually be sons and daughters of the King of Glory. So the inward vision is I know that God is working on me, transforming me to be like Jesus. Now, between now and when I get to heaven, I call that my outward vision, which is, okay, God, what do you want me to do in my life? I know where I'm going to end up. I'm going to end up in heaven. I know where I'm at now, and I know you're working on me spiritually, but what do you want me to do in the years between now and when I get to heaven, however long that is? And that's my outward. And that's what we all need from the Lord. We all know we're going to heaven. We all know where we are right now. The only question is, God, what do you want me to do on this earth on my journey to where I'm going to eternally retire? And I believe you need that from the Holy Spirit. That it is the Holy Spirit that gives you that vision or dream for what God wants to do in your life from here until you get to heaven. You know what this is? It's a dream catcher. And I was interested, I was looking this up. Only one Indian tribe actually used the dream catcher, but in 1971, all the Indian tribes adopted this as their, as a tourist selling belief system. Now, what they believe is a dream catcher, that there are dreams out there by spirits. There are good spirits and bad spirits. And that the dream catcher catches the dreams of these spirits. So you can catch these dreams for yourself. Now, what's interesting to me is, obviously, in some sense, that's a very good representation of the world. That people are trying to get a dream for their life, a vision for their life. And the world is also happy to give you one, to provide a dream or a vision. The TV, movie stars, sports figures, politicians will supply you with a dream for your life, and schools and other people and evil spirits. But I believe that the only dream catcher that we should have in our life is to catch the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All that dream catcher, they believe, is catching the dreams of spirits. Look, the reason why God calls it the Holy Spirit is because it's the only spirit that is holy. It is the Spirit of God. It is God Himself. That is the only spiritual dream catcher you want to put in your spiritual life, is to catch the Holy Spirit. Not any other spirit out there in the world, any demons, fallen angels, or other people. No, that's not the dream that you want. You want the dream when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. In Amos 3:7, you don't have to look it up, I'll just tell you. It says, God does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants. God wants to reveal what he has for us. Ephesians 2:10, well, you know Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is about salvation. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. And then it says, and then God has prepared for us in Christ Jesus good works, which he has prepared for us in advance. And so the point of that is, once you're saved, God has a plan for your life. He has good works. He has a vision for what he wants to do for you. And you need to know what that is. And just some examples. Joseph, of course, had a vision that one day his parents, that he would be a leader and everyone would look to him. Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus, had two visions. One was that he could take Mary to be his wife. I think before you marry anyone, you should know from God, from the Holy Spirit, is this the person God has for you? And then Joseph, stepdad of Jesus, also had a vision to take Jesus and to flee to Egypt to live for a while. And that's when Herod came and killed all the boys. Paul in Acts had a vision to go to Macedonia to share the gospel. The point I'm trying to share with you is godly men and women get visions, direction for their life from the Holy Spirit. That's one of the blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is that you know what God's calling you to do. Now, I like this. I actually stole this. Diane Zinsmaster, for some reason, had this on her Facebook this last week. And I was like, this is perfect. Do you see your plan? Okay. And then you see God's plan. So the top, your plan, that's the health, wealth, prosperity plan that you hear in churches, where everything goes wonderful and you get to the goal or the vision that God has for you. But in reality, the bottom is much more accurate on what God will tell you. Like, it's the same outcome. God will have the same vision. But like, take Joseph. Joseph in Genesis, he got a vision from God that he was going to be a great leader of the people. Unfortunately, well, I mean, God had to take him through his brothers throwing him in the pit, selling him off to Potiphar's house as a slave, and being falsely accused in jail, where he learned management skills, and then eventually he became second commander over all of Egypt. God had to take Joseph through all those ups and downs because God was working on his inward character and was training and preparing him to be the leader in Egypt. God gave me, there's only two times God has verbally spoken to me. The first time was when God was calling me into ministry. But I still had to go through schooling and ups and downs and all before I wound up in ministry. The apostles did amazing things for God, but they had to go up and down, just so you realize that when God gives you a vision, you're going to have those mountains and valleys on the way to fulfilling that vision. Psalm 29:18, I'm sure all of you have heard this. Where there is no vision, the people, what? Perish. See, what I'm trying to do in this sermon is tell you how important it is to have a vision for your life that you get from the Holy Spirit when you are filled with the Spirit. If you don't have a vision, the people perish. So let's talk about the government for a second. And I'm not really telling you who to vote for. I have no idea. But let's talk about the government for a second. Do we want a president that has a vision for our nation? Do you think that would be important, that the president has a vision to make our nation better than it is now? Yeah, I think we... So, you know, this is the thing that's so frustrating to me about the candidates. Like, why can't we find a solid Christian with a great vision to make our nation great? So, like, Ben Carson, to me, has the... He's got maybe the Christian character, but I'm not sensing the great vision of making our nation great. Donald Trump seems to have that vision, doesn't he, to make our nation great? You're like, yeah. Wait. But the Christian character side seems lacking. How about Hillary? I think Hillary Clinton has a vision for our nation, but I'm not convinced it's to make it better. You with me? All right, how about President Obama? I'm like, did he have a vision? All right, he finished 8 years. Is our country better? I mean, did he have a vision for us? I don't know. I think he just kind of drifted through. Or maybe, I don't know. So you understand, it's very important. It's like, oh, if we could just have a godly man or woman who loves Jesus and has a vision to make our nation great. That's who I would vote for. When I came to Mars Alliance, the elders were very big on working me over. Did I have a vision for the church? Do you think it's important that a pastor have a vision for a church? Okay. Yeah, we've done enough studies that very few pastors actually have a vision for a church. That if the pastor doesn't have a vision for the church, then the church usually does not go forward, but in fact will go backwards. That's how important it is to have a vision for the church. And every year the elders say, okay, Pastor Joe, for whatever reason in my life, God only gives me a vision like year by year for the church, okay? And every year the elders, what's the vision? Where are we going now next year, okay? And I've shared it with you already, what this year is. This is a year of outreach. So you understand how important it is for the president to have a vision. You understand how important it is for a pastor to have a vision. And I will claim it's just as important for each of you to have a vision, what God wants to do in your life. And that if you do not have the vision of what God wants to do in your life from here until you get to heaven, that you will perish. Now, you understand when people literally have no hope, no vision for their life, they often take their life. But even if I put aside taking your physical life, people that have no hope, no vision, no dream will, even if they don't take their physical life, they do spiritual and emotional suicide. So it's like you're the walking dead. You are just existing until you get to heaven. Because you have no vision or dream from the Lord, you're just going through a rut. Nothing is happening. You're dead to the potential that God has for you as you're just waiting to get to heaven. So here's Rob and I. This was a picture taken this last summer, and here's our six kids. We notice as parents, you have to help your kids sometimes develop the vision for their life. Do you understand that? If you're parents, you probably have figured this out. Because when they finish high school, don't you think it's important that your kids have a rough idea what they should be doing with the rest of their life? Do you think so? I know they may not have it perfected, but what happens if you come to the end of high school and the kid goes, I don't have any idea what I should be doing in life. So I can't go to college because I don't know what I want to do. I'll go work at McDonald's. And what's going to happen if you can't help that kid get a vision for his life, where he's going to go? What's going to happen? A year later, 2 years later, is that kid going to go anywhere? Probably not, okay? And so I see parents make a mistake because sometimes kids need a little help, even if it's, I'm not sure what I want to do, even if you narrow it down and say, well, you seem to like science or you like art or you like construction, why don't we try this out? Sometimes kids know, like, hey, I want to be, you know, a doctor, I want to be electrician, I want to be a truck driver. And that's really good. You encourage and you help them get the right schooling or training. Other kids are not sure, but I'm just telling you that if you're a parent and you have a kid and he hits 18 and finishes high school and has no vision, no dream for what God has for his life, you're going to be a parent in trouble. You're going to be a parent in trouble because the kid is just going to wander and not go anywhere. Listen. Just as I, as an earthly father, want to help my kids find their dream, the vision for their life, I don't want my kids wandering through life, not sure what God's calling them. As an earthly father, I want my kids to enjoy, be successful, find the gift, the calling God's calling them to, Do you not think that the Heavenly Father has the same desire for each of us to know what he wants, you know, the gifts and callings he's put in our heart, what he wants to lead us to? This is called the Texas sharpshooter fallacy. So let me tell you how this works. This guy arrives in this Texas town, and he sees these bullseye targets, and he sees a bullet right in the middle of all these targets. They're on the telephone poles, they're on the side of barns, they're on, you know, everywhere. And the guy goes, wow, whoever did all this shooting is amazing. He hit the target, you know, right in the center. He meets the person, and the person says, oh no, I shoot first, then I draw the bullseye around my bullets. Okay. So he's just shooting randomly and then saying, I hit the target. See, some people live through life that way because they don't know the vision. They go day by day and then they draw a circle around that day and say, well, that must have been what God wanted for me this day. I must have hit the target. But you have actually no idea. You probably are just living life randomly instead of knowing what's the target that God's calling you to do with your life. When Jesus came to earth, did he have a vision? Did he have a plan? Did he know what he was supposed to do with his life? And the answer is yes. He clearly knew, I have come in to bring salvation to mankind. I know what my vision is. I know the goal of my life. And everything that happened in his life was to lead to, of course, the cross and the resurrection. So let me give you the steps for 2016. Step number one is you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that God has forgiven us of our sins, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is through the word of God. Then, once you offer yourself to God, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and what? Perfect will. In order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to open up the altars in just a little couple minutes here. In order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to surrender. You have to say to God, see, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, but we're often filled with self. And so we cannot know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will because we're so filled with self and making our own choices. But when we come to the altar and surrender and say, God, I surrender my body, my life, my all to you. Help me to die to self. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Then I will know your good, pleasing, and perfect will in my life. I'll know exactly what you want me to do with my life. You will only have this occur when you surrender yourself and ask God to fill you. This is so important, this verse, that no person who applies to ministry in the Alliance, we specifically ask every man and woman that applies for ministry in the Alliance must share the point they did Romans 12, 1 and 2. If that person says, oh, I've never experienced surrendering my life and asking God to fill me in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we do not allow them to minister in the Alliance. Okay? And we have many pastors from other denominations who say they've never done this. We do not allow them to become Alliance pastors. Because our belief is if you haven't surrendered to God your life, then you will not know God's will. And you will not know God's will for the church we put you in, to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the Alliance, this is called the crisis of sanctification, when you totally surrender and ask God to fill you and to take control of your life. And that's what God's asking all of us to do, not just pastors, but all of us. So are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Step two, we can never draw close to God and get to know him well unless we spend time alone with him. So New Year's, I don't know about you, but every New Year, I think it's a good time to get alone with God. Whether you do it on the first of the year or this weekend, sometime get alone with God and say, all right, God, what do you have for me in 2016? And every year I do this, and it's like, God, what do you have for my marriage? What do you want Robin and I to accomplish? What do you have for my kids? What do you want me to do for the church? What do you want me to do with my finances? How about our health? And I just ask all these questions, seeking the Lord's direction. Now, other people will do what is called New Year's resolutions, which is like, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. To me, I'm like much more deeper than a resolution. It's like, what is the direction, God, you have for me for this year? Not just kind of frivolous resolutions, but so spend time alone with God. Ask God to fill you, and then start talking to the Lord and let him talk to you. Step three, write down what the Lord gives you. So Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. I don't know why this is, but when God gives you the vision, the dream for your life, it's very good to write it down. Even secular books, when they talk about when you have goals or where you think you want to go, it's important to write them down. I have kept a diary. Actually, I started a diary back when I was in like seventh grade. I did stop through high school, but pretty much I keep a diary of my life. It's fascinating to go back, and I'll pick out some old diary and I'll start reading to her. And it's funny, stuff we don't remember, or do you remember this or whatever. But it's also amazing when you write things down how God does bring them to pass. Step four, get good advice. Once you have that vision, dream from the Lord, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. But realize that God gives you that vision or dream. But once you have that, you may need education. You may need advice from a godly mom or dad or a pastor or people that can help you with that vision that God gives you. Step five, Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and all your plans will succeed. Now, a lot of people take this wrong, and so let me just share. The wrong way is, here's the plans I've made, Joe Toomey's made. Lord, I want you to bless my plans. And God says, if I commit it to him, he'll bless them and they'll succeed. Thank you. My plan is I want to be wealthy and have lots of power and, you know, bless it, Lord. But actually, this, and I like, oh, this is just on the side. Write your plans in pencil and give God the pen. I think what would be even better is write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser and the pen, okay? But D.L. Moody said, if God is your partner, make your plans big. Committing your plans to the Lord, what it really is saying is make God your partner with the plans. Make him your partner. That's what it means. It isn't, and if you make God your partner, then he's completely involved. There are too many Christians that view God like the stock market, in a sense, which is, I own 51% of the stock of my life, and God has 49%. So, or whatever percent you want to use. But because you have more than 50%, you're in control of the company that you've set up with God. And I do not believe God is going to bless your life. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's when God has at least 51%, if not 80% or 99% or even 100%, but probably never gets that much. A lot of Christians, I believe, want God to be a silent partner in the company of your life. You're like, oh, I'm going to commit my plans to the Lord. I want the Lord to be my partner. I want him to be my silent partner. And I don't believe that's true either. I believe that if you have a vision or dream from God for your life, it's always going to bring honor, glory, and praise to the Lord. And it always will have some aspect where you will love your neighbor as yourself. So I believe whatever dreamer, and I believe God can give millions, just like all my kids are different, God has millions of callings on Christians' lives around the world. Millions of callings. It could be an electrician, it could be a doctor, it could be a garbage man. Millions of callings, but in all of them, God will be glorified and praised through your life, your testimony, your witness, and you will love other people with your calling as you love yourself. So make God your partner. That's committing to the Lord, is sitting down with the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, here's what I'm thinking for my life. Here's what I'm thinking you're calling me to do. What do you think? You're more than 51% of the partnership. And God might go, yeah, I think we need to tweak this and we need to go this way. He's totally involved in your plans. And then step six is, this is just, Paul says, one thing I know, forgetting the past, I move forward to the upward calling that God has for my life. There's at some point, 2015 is coming to an end. And you can't keep living in the past. And there's a good side to that, and no matter how successful 2015 was, or how unsuccessful, it doesn't matter anymore. It's a new day. It's 2016. And it doesn't matter if you go, man, it just didn't work out, or it was a great year, whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. It's the beginning of a new year. And God kind of likes new starts, I think, often. And so forget the past. What does God want you to do in 2016?